everybody likes to see something that looks new and pretty, right? I mean, it's sort of simplistic, but like, again, you're saying like, oh, this is different and it's a different experience. I think it was, it just felt like the right time to do it. And the lightning strike moment is a way to say like, hey, we're over here. We got something pretty exciting going on that you're going to want to check out. And I think we talk, as we get to the actual event, like it did that because people were interested in seeing what was going on with us.
This is Revenue Makers, the podcast by Sixth Sense, investigating successful revenue strategies that pushed companies ahead. Hey, Adam.
Yes.
We did a thing this week.
A big thing.
Excellent thing. I'm so proud of the team.
It was pretty remarkable what we did. And then we're like self-congratulatory right now. But
I know.
Sixth Sense.
But I think we've earned it.
It did. And if you don't like it, if you're listening and it feels too self-promotional, I'm sorry. But I think we're going to bring out some good things that are not promotional. So we launched a brand, or a refreshed brand, and a new website. And we did all of the launching, the actual launch event, which was a 30-minute video stream on the new website. And we flipped all the switches at the same time. And nothing blew up and it ran perfectly. And it was pretty great. It opens up a lot of questions and like an interesting conversation about going through brand refreshes.
It does. And I don't know why, now that we've done it and it's behind us, I don't know why we decided to do all the things literally one time for everything to go live. But I think that says something about us and how we like to punish ourselves, maybe.
I mean, companies have done that, right? They do that. They want that. We're making the product, drives the brand, drives the website. You know, it's just, you're realizing you're getting into it. And then you have, in our case, it was a compressed timeline. You're like, wow. So, but here we are.
Here we are. And you forgot one more thing on the list. We also launched a magazine that same day.
Oh, right. Sure. Because why not, right? We actually have a B2B lifestyle magazine called The Opportunity that we launched an issue of that, which is phenomenal. Looks really something very different. It all kind of tied together in a very holistic way. So I forgot about that. And we actually, somebody at the company that just ran with that on his own and did a remarkable job. So that's a whole nother story.
Why did we do this? Like, tell again for the listeners, like, we've talked about Sixth Sense and we've patted ourselves on the back and we're so happy, yes. But why did we do this? Why is that lightning strike moment so important? And why was it important for us in this moment?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it's one of those things where the market shifts and changes. Sixth Sense has been around for a while, right? We're no longer a small sort of startup doing its thing. We're an established brand, established company. But a lot has changed about who we are, what our product is, who we sell to, our message. And it got to the point where the brand visually was, you know, it was a bit stale. It's been, you know, it was great, but it hadn't changed in a while. And it wasn't reflective of who and what we were selling and to whom and what our message to the market was. And we realized that we have so much more that we're doing. And then it was time to send a message to the market at the same time, like, hey, it's still Sixth Sense, but something's up and we have something new. And we're not completely reinventing everything, but we have a new set of products. We have different groups that we're selling to. And, you know, everybody likes to see something that looks new and pretty, right? I mean, it's sort of simplistic, but like, again, you're saying like, oh, this is different and it's a different experience. I think it just felt like the right time to do it. And the lightning strike moment is a way to say like, hey, we're over here. We got something pretty exciting going on that you're going to want to check out. And I think we talk, as we get to the actual event, like it did that because people were interested in seeing what was going on with us.
Yeah. And I think we're in a unique position because we market to marketers and sellers, right? Yes. And so we take it really seriously and we know marketers have high bars. And I think so much of what is out there sounds the same, looks the same, uses the same buzzwords. Yeah. We even poked fun at the AI-ness of it all, but it was the right moment to do this. And then secondly, what I would say is that it really is about telling the story of Sixth Sense now. We've acquired multiple companies since that original brand was created. We have added so many net new capabilities, and AI has been part of our company for really since day one. And so we wanted to tell that story, but in, again, a fun way that we know marketers appreciate and we have the best customers in the world. And so being able to go to them with a net new product that they all get for free, by the way, and is included in their marketing subscription. I mean, it was a time to celebrate. And so, yeah, I look back on the lightning strike, and while it was tough to get there, I'm so glad we got there and we did it all together.
So from your perspective, we talked about the why. We could talk a little about the what. At the executive level, you know, what were some of those conversations that were being had as we were sort of heading there? And like, what do you think are some considerations sitting in that seat too, when, okay, maybe you've committed, but what does it really mean? And what should the exec team be thinking about?
Yeah, I think the exec team, and any exec team who's really looking for something like this, it depends on what you're doing. But for us, Sixth Sense has a great brand. There is a brand recall. People actually associate certain sentiment with the brand. We have loyal customer base. We have, you know, we've been leaders in any quadrant wave out there, right? And so anytime you talk about doing something different with the brand, there is apprehension. And so it wasn't necessarily apprehension, but it was more of a, we don't want to mess with the goodwill and what we have built. It really needs to be a continuation. And I think that was what was emphasized always. We can't lose our soul because we have, you know, such a great company and such a great brand. It really is about the refresh, and it really is about telling the story of the new Sixth Sense. And so that was really what came up again and again of what is changing and what isn't changing. And once we laid that out, it became really easy for everyone to get on board.
And I also think there's some vocabulary too, right? Because we had a conversation long before we actually started this, and I used the wrong word. I used the word rebrand, which, depending upon who you're talking to, people just go running. They're scared.
Well, it's alarm bells, especially when you have a great brand.
Right. And so, like, if you look at, you know, a lot of rebrands out there are, they change the logo, they change everything, they change the company name, use the word refresh. And all right, so it's take the best of the best and change what, you know, is, it's like a polish, a shine, a little bit of sandpaper. I think we probably went a little bit further than just a polish and shine. We did make some pretty fundamental changes, but we kept the spirits. I think for anybody that's looking at this, it's really important, A, as you're trying to bring people on board, what you call it can have all the difference in the world, make all the difference in the world.
It was definitely a refresh and not a rebrand. And there were certain things, again, that we really didn't touch. I think teal is still very much, you know, our color, the logo, the tagline, like those things, you know, we didn't change. So Adam Kaiser, as the one who was leading the team, because you own brand, what specifically did we change?
What we did change was typography. We changed our secondary and tertiary color palettes to expand them. And we had a couple of things where, if anyone's seen some of the earlier stuff, we had these kind of icons, and we called them peeps and flows, that would sort of like flow out from different characters or from people. And we moved those away, and we moved to a more, we call them nodes and grids.
And glows,
where we're basically, right? So we have this sort of like, if we went from peeps and flows to grids and glows, which was completely ironic. Those are like, you know, laying down the foundation, like for grids and how we present, and nodes, how we represent data, and glows, how we represent insights. So like, it was kind of like the tenets of the brand were entirely new. And then we had a couple areas of, I don't want to use the word sub-brand, because that, you know, again, like we're not Apple, where we have like all these different products that we can, and they don't really do that, but one of our kind of core fundamental product features of the Signalverse has got kind of its own sort of unique look and feel. So that was all net new as well. And then like from a website, the website's entirely different structurally. And the thing that we're not mentioning either is that in this rebrand, our product message is entirely new, right? So our architecture changed, and that was all informing the design and back and forth. So, you know, if you strip it back, it's almost easier to say that what didn't change than what did change. But to me, like where we landed, it almost feels inevitable, right? It doesn't, like you look at it and it's different, but it's not so different as you're like, who is this, right? I think that's, again, a huge consideration for any company. And like, if you look at some rebrands, especially in B2C, people, there are decisions that are made and it's like backlash, especially when logos change, right? So we weren't doing anything that was going to be so like, Plus, I don't know if in B2B people get that impassioned about brand changes, right? Like, I was a GM changed their logo and it was like lowercase GM and people were like, what is this? And it's like, I don't think anyone's going to come after us or scream at us. But again, it's so important. Even just this morning, we were on the CMO Coffee Talk from Sixth Sense, and I forget who it was who said it. It was like, you know, the rebrand is very much just for the, it's for the internal folks as well, as much as it is for external, to kind of drive alignment and say like, here's where we're going and all that. So you want to do something that's going to make your team, your employees feel, hey, this is the next step. This is great, but it's not so jarring for them either.
Totally.
I had fun telling you every day that we were going to change things to purple. I do have a folder of things that we had and rejected because then I never showed them to anybody. It was for another day, but it was a lot of fun. Now, I was kind of living in a cave for a while during this process, but obviously you can't do this in a cave. You have to bring people along. So in your mind, who should be involved and when? I think not only who, but when is key, right? In terms of like how you sequence this thing.
So we're now talking broader. Like now we're talking less about what we just did, but a broader rebrand, right? Yeah. I think it's the answer I hate to give, but the answer is it depends, particularly on the why and the what you're doing and the industry that you're in and kind of your landscape. Because if you're doing a very major rebrand where logo, name, everything is changing because of a merger, acquisition, something, that's a very different consideration of who needs to be involved and who needs to be brought along that journey versus if you're doing something like a refresh. But I will say, bring people along. I think communicate, over-communicate. But the who, when it comes down to who's actually making the decisions and who is actually has a go, no, go, yes, no, accept, you know, hell no answer. Yeah. I think that has to be really, really small. And I think it needs to be obviously the person who is responsible for the brand project, the CMO, the CEO, the CRO. You know, there really needs to be a handful of people who are making those final decisions. I've been at companies where a very small team sort of came up with one or two or three versions, and then they did send it out to employees for survey. They did do some maybe external even Q&A or just to get an idea of how people would receive it. But in the end, the final decision really has to be with a small group of people because these sorts of projects, everyone's got an opinion. Let's be honest. Everyone has an opinion about marketing, what marketing does, the color, the logo, the font. And so I think if you design by committee, you'll get something that's just that looks like it. And so keeping that group small in terms of final decision making and veto power is the way to go. And the higher up, really, you go.
Yeah, and I guess also too, like given that there are some times where companies will do a pure visual refresh and there's nothing happening from a messaging perspective. And that wasn't our case. But when one is informing the other, right? Again, like you're going to have a much more successful visual rebrand if it's being motivated by
something, right?
So like from that perspective, like when you're in the room, again, like messaging, do you think that is as sensitive? I kind of don't think it is actually as sensitive as the visuals. Like people have opinions, but like there's like emotional opinions about the way things look. Well, I know you saw maybe during like going back to where we were during the process.
Yeah, it's funny you ask because it goes back to the why are you doing this? If you're just doing it to slap on some new colors and pictures and there's nothing else going on, I think even though B2B might not evoke such strong opinions, your customers and your prospects, they see through it. They're like, oh, wait for this big moment. And then it kind of falls flat because it's just a renaming of something or like a prettier packaging on something that you already have. So one of the pieces of feedback we heard from customers this past week was, I'm so glad there was actually a release and there's actually something new and there's actually something exciting that we can do, because so many companies out there, particularly in the AI world, right, that we're going through right now, they're slapping the name agent or AI or something on something that exists or maybe is a sideshow to your main course. And multiple people came up and said, I'm so glad that there actually was something new and we're so excited about it.
And again, that's the beauty of the, I go back to the moment again, right? Because we did all this stuff as a marketing team, but like at the same time, product started turning on this solution, and there was communications going out, and people, our customers, were getting into it. So it's just like, when you can align that well between your product team, your marketing team, and there's this, again, the crescendo of it is hugely impactful, and people feel like they're getting something out of it. They showed up to this event, they watched something, and then they go log into the product, and there it's like, hey, boom, check it out.
And
like,
there.
There's a lot of value in that in terms of just like some sort of hypothetical, or hey, this will, you'll see this in 6 months or something like that.
Yeah. People have been promised things that don't end up materializing. And so let's give them some substance behind it. Back to our particular event, we had a 30-minute webinar, and the average viewing time of attendees, and there were thousands of them, was 32 minutes. So people stayed, watched the whole thing, and stayed for the credits. And at one point someone said, I'm just here for the music now because I'm enjoying it. So that tells you something.
I will correct you that it was served up in a webinar platform, but it was a production. And this is also something to think about as well, right? When you're the rollout of your refresh and your messaging, right? You can do it a lot of different ways, right? And one of the things that we chose not to do is we didn't talk about the fact that we were doing a refresh, right? Which you could, right? You could spend some time on it. But everything, like, again, we had two video shoots, and we had motion graphics, and all that, all had to be redone or matching the new style. But it was just like, here's the new Sixth Sense at work inside of this video production. So I think you should also be very, very cognizant of what is the rollout. I mean, maybe you don't have a product launch at the same time, you're not, you know, whatever it may be, but it's so important to deliver it in such a way that's, it's a compelling moment. And again, not everyone's going to go out and produce videos and do all that type of thing, but it's the work is important, but the, you know, the reveal, the here's here we are kind of thing is very, can be very, very impactful.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to broader rebrand conversations. And Adam, this is a tactical nuts and bolts question for you. So we did the reveal, you know, we did a product launch, but any company that is going through a rebrand, there's really specific assets, items, things that have to be updated. If you could just go down a list of like most of the things that did have to change and again, had to be orchestrated throughout this project.
Well, I mean, number one and the biggest thing for anyone's going to be your website, right? Again, and you can do that in a phase approach where maybe you update your homepage and you update some core pages. But in our case, we did, again, because why not, did update the entire site. So that, I mean, obviously that's the most, in most cases, the most significant expression of your brand.
Yeah.
And the first place where a lot of people are going to go. So that's number one. And that was a massive part of our effort. I think it's going to be a massive part of any company that's doing this, because it's a lot of work to go into a website. After that, it's remarkable to me the sought after assets in our company. And we had been teasing this for a while internally. Like, people had seen some things. We were rolling it out. We were trying to build some excitement. You know what they were hungry for?
Tell me.
They were just clamoring. A PowerPoint template, which on one hand I get, but on the other hand, I'm like, are we that boring?
No, come on. They're in PowerPoints all day. I know. It's a good sentiment that they love what they see and they want to use it immediately. So yeah, PowerPoint brand was number one. What else?
PowerPoint, there's like the stuff that basically the items where employees can express it themselves, like, you know, something in your email signature, a banner for your LinkedIn profile, all those little things that let an employee say like, hey, check out, we have something new, something they can share on social. They're excited and they want to be a part of it and they want to help promote it, which again, obviously you want that, right? You've got employees of thousands of people that are pushing these things out. You can have massive amplification. And then there's like the I mean, I would consider a PowerPoint template more transactional, just in the sense that like it's an everyday tool everyone needs. You know, if you're a software or product-based company, like there's the one-pager brochures and templates and kind of all that type of thing. The Word document template, and you know, there's all of those different things. And like, we're going to be chasing these things for a year, like things that need to be.
I mean, booth, right? Think there's trade shows happening, what your booth looks like, all the sort of previous assets that out there, because we're not going to throw those away, right? And so we've adopted an approach where we are basically going into tools like Seismic or our knowledge base and looking to see what are the most used assets and then going down that list and determining basically, all right, these are the ones we're going to start to put into the new look and feel immediately, and they take priority, and then you kind of get to everything else later.
And I think you also have to be fair to yourself and fair that, like, if there's something out there that hasn't been updated, it's going to be okay. Like, nobody in the world is going to expect that you flip a switch and everything has changed. But, like, again, that methodology of going after what's the most used. And then there's, like, occasional fast follows, right? And if you're a company that's changing your logo and you're changing your company name, right, obviously that introduces an entirely different layer of complexity.
Legal. About,
like, whole trademarks and legal contracts and change like that. You know, I wouldn't talk about that because that's just completely outside of the scope of what we did. But that does certainly, and I'm sure for anyone who's been out there who's been through that knows, wow, that's, you're chasing that for years. So.
Yeah. You know, as with any good discussion about a big marketing sort of initiative, the inevitable question is, how do you measure the impact of the rebrand, right? And so things that come to mind for us that we will be looking at, right? Initially, it's very much, you know, you've got your web traffic, and whether you look at overall traffic or direct traffic, there's that social media engagement. How much are people looking at your company pages, engaging with it? I mean, we haven't gone out and announced anything about the new look and feel. It's really been about the new product. You know, as long as you are looking at a pre versus post apples to apples comparison, you want to see a lift there, right? And then longer term will be things like brand sentiment. I think even share of voice or social listening tools can give you some information there. Sales performance, you know, all those sorts of intangibles, like those are much more of the lagging indicators.
For us particularly, we do have the, you know, we're fortunate that the product launch is tied to this. So we can look at how that product is performing, and you can say, okay, there's a connection between the brand change and the product. And if we're seeing up into the right growth in the product, then okay, there's a contribution there. You know, if we had we launched that product as the same brand, would it have grown as much? Hard to say, but that's definitely something that we can also connect to.
So. All right, Adam, I feel like you've earned some sleep, as have I. Hopefully no nightmares anymore. I did have a nightmare about this whole thing the week leading into it, but we're happy with where things have landed. We will continue to evolve, of course, as we, you know, always do, but I think we've earned a little bit of rest.
I think so. And I think to anyone out there who's either thinking about doing this or going through the process, I think it's really, really important because you can get in deep. Every so often, you got to stop and make sure, one, are we going to accomplish everything we want? If you've signed up for doing a lot of different things, are we on track? And if you're not, it's okay. Just decide, how are we going to do that? Do we start to pace things out? Do we pull back here? Because you can really chew off more than you can chew. I'm still haven't slept. And find yourself in a situation where you can't see your way out of it, how it has to all happen. Like, it doesn't. Just think about the plan. Think about how it's going to roll. And however it's going to roll, no one's going to know that you had a plan that was different. You're ultimately going to get it out to market. And do what's right by your company or in the business and know your people, and it's going to be a success. And it has a real potential to be a big lift for the business going forward.
Yeah, it can be a huge needle mover. And surround yourself with incredible people on your team who are all in it to win it. And we're so fortunate with our little team at Sixth Sense.
We are. So with that, it's time to go to sleep. Time for now.
See you later.
Take care.
You've been listening to Revenue Makers.
Do you have a revenue project you were asked to execute that had wild success? Share your story with us at sixthsense.com/revenue, and we might just ask you to come on the show. And if you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow along on your favorite podcast app.